Hello, everyone. Welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
So there are a lot of ways to keep yourself safer in times of an ongoing pandemic. And we've talked about many of those ways on this very show. One that we haven't, I don't think, is related to research that has just been published. And
sleep better.
Yeah.
Sleep better. Not sleep more. Sleep better.
Yeah, just sleep better.
It makes your immune system way better.
Yeah,
right?
And you're way less likely to get affected by not just the, you know, pandemic virus floating around, but all sorts of other ones. To find out exactly what that means, we're going to go to one of the researchers involved in this study, Professor Neil Walsh in Liverpool.
Science Unscripted.
Yeah, my name is Professor Neil Walsh. I'm at Liverpool John Moores University. I'm an applied physiologist with an interest in sleep, and we've just published an exciting paper in the flagship journal Sleep, looking at how sleep quality has an influence on respiratory infection.
Neil, if you could summarize your research in a single conclusion for our listeners, what is that conclusion?
What we show is that good sleep quality protects against respiratory infection. So it's not just about sleep duration that's important, but good sleep quality is important to protect you against respiratory illness.
What is good quality sleep? What do you mean by that?
In our study, we assessed quality sleep by asking a simple questionnaire of the individual. How was your quality sleep last night, on a scale from 1 to 4, from very poor to very good? People tend to rate the quality of their sleep when you ask them based upon how quickly they get to sleep, something we call sleep latency, but also how disturbed was their sleep. So if they have a good night's sleep, it's generally not disturbed. So the good news is when you ask people about their sleep, it typically relates well to more objective measurements of sleep.
Just how significant is this difference? If I get a great night's sleep, mm-hmm. and then I go to, I don't know, Oktoberfest here in Germany, which is, you know, the air is full of viruses in there, versus, you know, getting a bad night's sleep and I walk into that same room. Is it twice as likely that I catch one of those respiratory viruses and end up with a cough or something worse afterwards? Is it 3 times as likely? What are the numbers?
It's the latter. It's nearly 3 times more likely are those individuals who've got sleep restriction but poor sleep to get infection versus those who have no sleep restriction, who have good sleep quality. So it's quite a dramatic increase in respiratory infection risk. And the beauty of our study is that we did this in a very controlled environment where young adults were starting military training. And so they share living accommodation, they eat the same food, they do the same exercise. So it's actually a really controlled environment. And so you would assume that they were all exposed to similar infectious risk because they were all mixing together, like the example you give of the festival. So actually, it is actually quite a dramatic increase in risk by having poor quality rather than good quality sleep.
And you said 3 times more likely? Let's say I'm a bad sleeper compared to Connor, who's probably a good sleeper.
Wonderful sleeper.
I'm 3 times more likely to be infected by, let's say, COVID-19.
Absolutely. If you've got poor quality sleep and sleep restriction, it seems to be a double whammy. That the combination of those two is a real problem, having restricted sleep versus what you would normally get if you're, for example, like one of these military recruits. We asked them about their normal sleep in civilian life, and then we compared the sleep they got at the start of training versus their normal sleep to work out their restriction. And then those who had 2 or more hours of sleep restriction a night were in our sleep restricted group. And then, of course, you've got your control group who don't have 2 hours of sleep restriction. And we saw this profound difference, particularly when you have poor sleep quality, whereas those individuals who had sleep restriction but slept well, they reported good quality. They were at no greater risk of suffering respiratory illness during training than those people who had no sleep restriction at all.
So it's all about the sleep quality. Neil, can you help our listeners around the world keep them healthier? What can they do to have higher quality sleep? Is it, you know, dark curtains in the room, earplugs, lavender oil on your neck or on your chest? What works?
The first one is that it's highly recommended to adopt a consistent sleep schedule. Go to bed and wake up at the same time, even including the weekends. The second recommendation is to avoid large meals, high doses of caffeine and alcohol in the hours close to bedtime. The third one is to, it's a bit obvious this one, but it's to ensure that your bed and your pillow are really comfortable. And importantly, that the room is cool, dark and quiet. Think that your room should be like a cave. The fourth one is to establish a really relaxing bedtime routine. So switch off your mobile devices, you know, at least 30 minutes before bedtime and go to bed really when you feel sleepy. And then the final one is that there is good research showing that if you undertake exercise during the day, this will help you fall asleep more quickly. And that's a good measure of sleep quality is what we call sleep latency, how long it takes you to fall asleep.
And if those five things don't work, what do you do then?
Well, there are also good studies showing that therapy like cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, courses, you know, involving relaxation strategies, those have been shown actually in insomnia patients who obviously really struggle, have a clinical struggle with their sleep. They've also been shown those interventions to also improve sleep quality in those patient populations.
As a sleep researcher, are you able to follow your own advice? Do you do these things?
Great question. I actually have a terrible problem at falling asleep because unfortunately I'm laid in bed mulling over these sorts of things we're talking about right now and trying to solve problems. One thing I find works for me because I struggle to sleep is I always have that book beside my bed and I switch off my phone. I do that. I make sure the room is cool, dark and quiet. And I keep a little notepad beside my bed so that I can write down any worries or any stresses, anything that I think is going to keep me awake. I think that helps, but you know, you only try, don't you?
And that was Professor Neil Walsh talking to us from the Liverpool John Moores University at the School of Sport and Exercise Sciences.
Yeah, and more and more research about how good sleep is for us and how important it is. It scares me every time I come across it.
Because you don't sleep well.
Because I'm not a good sleeper.
Do you have insomnia?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I cannot fall asleep. It takes me hours every night.
I mean, I remember last year, I was fortunate enough to be invited by the European Space Agency to do a parabolic flight. Where you get to
you
float
went up,
like zero G's.
Went up and felt
moon gravity. And the night before we got up there the night before the flight, and I saw you the next morning and you literally had not slept.
That's what happened. Remember what Neil just said? Make sure you have a comfortable pillow and a comfortable mattress. If I don't have my mattress and my pillow, I probably won't sleep that night.
Just bring it.
My mattress?
With.
Put it on top of the car when we take the Deutsche Welle wagon around.
There you go. Yeah, it might bend, you know, as a result of the wind, but that's fine.
I got 0 seconds of sleep that night.
Yeah, no, that makes it difficult. And that makes it, what, three times more likely that you're going to have a respiratory illness.
I wonder what it actually is technically that fosters or that makes your immune system stronger when you have slept well. More cytokines or something like that? Something's better.
Yeah.
Something's better that allows you to kill off those invaders.
Yeah.
And really interesting science right there.
Useful. Mm-hmm. Useful. And yeah, especially that smartphone. I wonder sometimes how many millions, billions, trillions of human hours have late at night kind of been stolen away by our smartphones. I'm part of that problem. It's why I lock my phone on the weekends in a smartphone lockbox. Because I'll sit there scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. You look, it's almost 11. You look up again, it's 12:30.
I'm still listening to Hotel California by some dude who can play the guitar really well.
No, I'm listening to Science Unscripted. That's why I'm listening to it. very good advice out of the UK. Any questions, comments, any related research, we'd love to hear about it. SU@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.